Today's Friday edition of the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast is brought to you by No Halftime. No Halftime is an easy-to-use iTunes app that allows you to compete in player versus player daily fantasy sports contests. Use the promo code BBALL, that's B-B-A-L-L, for a free $25 at sign up. That's No Halftime, where the fantasy sports season never takes a break. Daniel Green, it's Friday. What's going on, my man?
Mark, it is good to be here. And
is almost over.
It's been this week has been like 12 weeks. It feels like it's been a really long week. So much has happened in basketball and life, right? Is that just me or you two? A lot going on with you this week?
Tell us more. What are you talking about?
Well, no, I mean, just, you know, a lot of stuff in you know, we'll get to some stuff in a minute. I'm just a lot has went on.
All right. Well, we have a packed show today, so let's get right into it. During our last show, you said that you had a bunch of nonsense topics that you wanted to talk about, and we said we'd let the listeners vote on those nonsense topics and pick one, and we would talk about it today. So now's your chance. Do you want to reveal the voting for your topics?
I will, Mark. I shall reveal them now.
Okay.
So, in a landslide, Urban Outfitters was number one, which I think me and you kind of thought that might be the case. But number two was using your refrigerator / freezer as a trash can, which I don't know if we'll have time to get to that story, but maybe that can be, you know, another.
Yeah, that might be next week.
But that's a great story as well. But no, Urban Outfitters won. So let me just go. So why don't we? Are you cool with me? Telling the listeners the update regarding that story.
Yeah, give us like a 2-minute update on that, and then to tease the rest of the show, so everybody knows what's coming. We're gonna do a quick segment called Just the News, where we give you just the flat news from the day. We're not gonna give you any analysis there because we're gonna get into our casual Friday show, which is where we just talk about more general NBA topics. And today's show we'll be talking about our all-star selections, who Daniel and I think should be in the all-star game. So with that, Daniel, the floor is yours. Tell us about your girl at Urban Outfitters.
And before, I know a lot of you, probably most of you, are just tuning in for the Urban Outfitters story. You probably don't want to hear the all-star selections that me and Mark are going to do. But you should stay for that, because some of Mark's selections are absolutely insane. I don't know what this dude was smoking today, but you guys got to stay and listen to the whole podcast, because some of Mark's selections really are, like when he revealed his to me before the show, you know, it was pretty crazy. All right, Urban Outfitters story. So really quick, brief recap. Had a mad crush on this girl for about 8 months. Finally got up the nerve to ask her out. But I made the rookie amateur mistake, which is so unlike me, Mark, where she took my number instead of me getting her number. Then she never texted me. I had to find a way to get back into Urban Outfitters, so I brought her some like Christmas presents for her cat. She said she's going to text. She still never texted. And then it kind of faded away. So this all happened about December 20th. So now, you know, about a month ago. Now, in about, I'd say like right after Christmas, I happened to meet a new lovely lady who I basically have been seeing since like the, you know, end of December. And it's gotten, you know, pretty serious. We talk almost every day. We've been out a lot. And, you know, it's getting, it's not, me and you talk about this all the time pre-show. It's not, I don't know if it's a, you know, we're not boyfriend, girlfriend yet, but it's close, right? So, or I guess as close as you can be in like 3 weeks or a month. However, so one night I'm over at this lovely lady's apartment and I get a text. And the text says, hi, this is so-and-so from UO. I'm like, you know, and it was like 10 o'clock at night on like a Monday. And I'm like, I don't know who the hell this is. Like, whatever. I'm like, man, you know, must be some girl in my past. I don't know. Didn't really think much of it. And then I realized UO meant Urban Outfitter, Mark. So finally, like a month later, I get the text that I've been waiting for. And now I have a dilemma on my hands. Like, what do I do? Like, so me and the, you know, Urban Outfitter girl have exchanged, you know, multiple texts. And she's clearly, you know, now wants to go out. But I'm kind of like stuck, like, so me and the other lady have kind of already said we're only going to see each other. So what do I do? What do I do, Mark? This is a dilemma. For 8 months, I was just so smitten with the Urban Outfitter girl.
So don't what did you do? It? Yeah.
Don't you think I owe it to myself to go on a date with her? But then again.
Yeah, it depends on how much you like this new girl.
I mean, so listeners, I need some help here. Tweet me what I should do. This is a dilemma for me. You know, also then if I go on the date with you know, Urban Outfitter, do I tell what's her name? I mean, I got, you know, it's like, I don't want to be dishonest, but
you know, news for you. I think your new girl listens to the podcast. So I,
no, she does sometimes, but, and yeah, I did tell her that I got the text from Urban Outfitter girl, but I kind of just played it off. So if she listens to the podcast, maybe she can tell me what to do. I am torn a little bit. I'm rightfully so. I'm curious, right? I mean, for 8 months, I was smitten with this girl. So it totally caught me off guard. Did not expect her to text. And she didn't even have a viable reason why she waited a month, at least not that I could find out so far. So, Mark, that's my dilemma. I need advice from you, from the listeners. What do I do? It's a tough one, right?
It feels very much like a sitcom.
Yeah, I mean, and this is, and I'm not making this up. This is actually true. And like, I've never had someone wait. Like, why in the hell would you wait a month to text me? It's so bizarre, right?
It is.
I mean, you never know what was going on in her life. Maybe, you know, she was dating someone or who knows? All I know is now she's ready to date or at least go out with me. But I really do like this other girl. I mean, the other girl that I'm dating right now is, you know, really sweet. I mean, just, you couldn't ask for a better person. So I don't want to eat.
Who does the dog like better?
Well, what do you mean? Oh, that's right. The dog has met Urban Outfitter. I'm not going to lie. That's a tough one. The dog likes both. My neutered dog, who's okay, by the way. Thank you on Twitter for all the well wishes. I really appreciate it. He's a little mad at me today. I picked him up, but he's doing well as you can do without any balls. So, you know, but no, he likes them both. At least with his balls, he liked them both. I'm not sure, you know, without his balls, what he's going to do now. So there it is. That's the update. I finally have gotten the text, guys. But I'm now seeing someone else. What do you do?
Well, all right. We'll let the listeners decide. We don't need to spend any more time with that one.
Yeah, no.
Fine. All right. You want to get into our news segment where we're going to do just the news? No analysis. Just
rapid.
Make sure.
This is where you are basically the Brian Williams of the show. And by the way, whatever happened to Brian Williams?
He's on MSNBC.
Is he?
Yeah.
What's he doing?
News anchor of some kind. I haven't ever watched him. I just know that's.
Wait, when the hell did that happen? I missed that.
I think it's been a couple of months.
So will he ever get his, you know, the prime time?
I don't know.
Interesting. I had no idea he was back. You think I'm alone on that, or?
I guess it's fair to say that you don't watch a lot of MSNBC.
No, I'm not. All of politics kind of annoys me. So no, I guess not. But wow, that's it. That's good. Good. No, good for him. Good job, Brian.
All right. Here's the news. On Thursday night, the Pelicans changed their starting lineup. They started Tyreke Evans, Anthony Davis, Omar Ashik, Dante Cunningham, and Norris Cole. So that leaves Drew Holiday on the bench. Norris Cole in 31 minutes had 12 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists. Daniel thinks he's a pickup. I think I'm probably still not picking him up yet. Is that true, Daniel?
Yeah, that is true. Like, I really do believe the Pelicans are going to be shutting down Tyreke Evans in the, you know, probably after the All-Star break. There's no reason for him to keep playing on that bulky knee. I also wouldn't be surprised if they shut down Anthony Davis at some point, because I think they really are going to go after that number one lottery pick. So that makes Norris Cole a great play and someone who could actually help you win your fantasy playoffs. So I love Norris Cole right now.
Yusuf Nurkic in Denver returned to action on Thursday night. He'd sat out the previous three games with an ankle and knee issues, still returning from his injuries from the offseason. And also in that game, worth mentioning, Will Barton is struggling. We're almost near the end of the game. He has 4 points, 4 rebounds. Basically, the last 2 weeks, his numbers have been down across the board. His playing time has been down across the board. He's shooting 37%. So he was great for a little while. He is not doing as great any longer. All right, last one, moving on to Phoenix. Phoenix we mentioned last show, Daniel, about all their injury problems. Well, on Thursday night versus the Spurs, John Lohr sat out, Markieff Morris sat out, Miroslav Teletovic sat out, and Brandon Knight sat out. So it'll be interesting to see.
If I could actually play sound effects, I would have played a bomb exploding.
Yeah, they may also be going for that number one seed. And to counter, the Spurs sat out Tim Duncan and Tony Parker. Those are just rest issues, though. All the guys on the Spurs on the Suns seem hurt, so pay attention to that box score. Look who played, who didn't play, and maybe make some pickups to go along with that.
And also, I'm going to look into this. Did PJ Tucker get hurt while we were doing this show? In the last 5 minutes, he might have, but I'll check into that. Keep going.
He did. He took a knee to the sternum. He's questionable to return to the game.
So basically, me and you could be playing for Phoenix right now.
I think so.
All right.
That's the end of our just the news segment. The rest of the show is going to be non-fantasy related.
Hey, Mark, can I quickly add one thing about the news? Because I actually did find this interesting.
Sure.
Phoenix did start, Chandler and Alex Len at the four. And I guess they did a lot of this in the summer league. And I was, blown away when I was reading about this today for Phoenix. Does that surprise you at all? Does that make Len in any way a more viable pickup in the second half of the season?
No.
All right.
Yeah, no. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. That's it. I mean, Len to me is intriguing, man. And you're telling me if you can play a stretch four, I just want to,
I mean, listen, I didn't plan on doing 5 minutes about Alex Len, but we can get into him if you want. Alex Len is look at his per 36 number so far this season. He's averaging 12 points, 11 rebounds, one assist, one steal, 0 3-pointers, and less than 2 blocks a game or per 36 minutes. So, you translate that, maybe he gets 30 minutes. He's not even really that's 8, 9 points, 8 rebounds and a block. I mean, it feels like a lot of the other guys that we've talked about already this season. I'm not excited about his fantasy prospects really at all, even if he gets big minutes.
All right. I'm just intrigued that Alex Len is a stretch four. It intrigues me. Granted,
I don't think he's playing stretch four. I think they're just playing two centers.
All right. The articles I was reading saying they were having him a stretch four. I mean, it didn't treat.
Do you think there's any? Well, so I'm not trying to call you wrong. I'm just saying.
That's fine. I've been wrong a couple times in my life. The Brian Williams thing, I was wrong.
No, is there anything in his skill set that makes you think he can play stretch four?
No, that's why I found the article so fascinating. The Phoenix beat writers and the people covering the team there think that he can. And to me, that blew my mind because I was like, there's no way. The 7'1" stiff who runs as slow as an ox. So I just found it very interesting that this he's gonna be guarding a Draymond Green. Are you kidding me? Are you out of your mind?
Yeah, exactly. All
right. Anyway, moving on. Sorry about that.
No, let's we can talk about Alex Len for another 30 minutes if you'd like.
You want to do a whole show on Alex Len?
Sure. I think that's where we're headed.
The Land of Len. How about that?
That could be the new podcast name.
All right. Let's go on to the All-Star selection.
All right, All-Star. So, again, just general NBA talk from here on out. We're not going to do a lot of fantasy, but it should be a lot of fun. Hopefully, it's a nice way to ease you into the weekend. Did have one other mention we wanted to give out. Matthew Langley reached out to us. Thank you, Matthew. He sent us his very own song that he had recorded to possibly use as intro music. I think we're going to try to make sure that we can play that song for everybody on Monday and see what you all think, if it'll be a good intro song for us or not.
Shout out to his band, and I might butcher the name, but I think it's Quinta Never Crashes. Really cool song. So thanks for reaching out, man.
Yeah. Awesome that you would send it. If anybody else has something along those lines where they'd like to have us play their music on the podcast, I think we'd definitely be up for that at least once or twice. And if everybody likes it, we'll keep it around maybe permanently.
I think I'm gonna write my own song called "The Land of Len," and play that in the opening.
All right. So what we wanted to do is just share with everybody who we would pick if we were in charge of selecting the All-Star team, who we would pick. And Daniel, I think we have some different approaches to the All-Star game. Do you want to share with us how you went about picking your All-Stars?
I mean, for the most part, my All-Stars, I mean, I didn't dig deep into the analytics, which I know that you did, which came out with really much more interesting results than mine. But to me, it was quite simple. I mean, I basically said, who would I want to see play at the All-Star game? Like, that's what I think the All-Star game should be. Like, if I was, you know, went or even watching in TV, who do I want to see play? Really simple approach.
Yeah. And, I definitely get that approach. And I think that's basically what they're asking us to do when we select our starters, right? If we vote on starters, pick who you want.
Yeah.
To me, it's like the All-Star game is a hodgepodge of different things they're trying to accomplish. Like, on one hand, it's an exhibition game for the fans to enjoy, so pick who you want. On the other hand, like, it's used for contract incentives. It's used for Hall of Fame discussions. It's used for who's, you know, which player is better than the other player. Like, people will cite how many All-Star game appearances you have. So I kind of wish the NBA would pick one lane or the other, but we're kind of left with this ambiguous, like, what is the All-Star game? Who deserves to be in there? I think the most frustrating part for me is, what do you do with superstars who had, probably because they missed some time, they had a bad first 40 games of the season? Like, do you count the All-Star game as simply who has performed well for the first 40 games? Or do you say, here are our best players in the NBA? It doesn't matter that Kyrie Irving sat out for 25 games. He's one of the best 25 players, so we're going to play him.
Yeah, and this is where it does get – I mean, first of all, and going back to your first point, like, that's every sports league, man. Like,
No, it is.
Like, that's just how – that's always how All-Star games are going to be, especially if you're letting the fans vote. I mean, at least in the NFL, they let, like, the you know, I think it's like a third the players, a third the coaches, and a third the fans, right?
Right.
So, which is – for the Pro Bowl, so that's a little better system, I think. But as long as you have fans voting, like, that's why you're going to end up with Zaza Pachulia getting, like, you know, ahead of Draymond Green in the voting, and you're going to get, you know, crazy stuff. And Kobe leading the, getting more votes than anyone. It's just, that's just what's going to happen. So I just kind of accept that. But to your second point regarding what do you do with people who have been injured and all that good stuff, that's where it gets tricky. And for, like, the team that I made, yeah, I mean, I kind of went with only guys who have been playing this year. So I left out, like, Blake Griffin, because he's just missed too many games.
Right.
So that's you know, and the Kyrie Irving, he's missed too many games. It's just like
And I guess what I like about it is, by the end of the season, the NBA tries to rectify that with the all-NBA teams.
Right. And to one of your points about contract incentives, a lot of contract incentives, and this is, you know, the agents, you know, do this on purpose. It will say, you know, you get X amount for making the All-Star team or – you know, all NBA team.
Right.
So
anyway, all I'm saying is it matters more than is just the exhibition game that they say, for a lot of reasons, Hall of Fame, contract, whatever you want to say, it sort of matters. So here was my approach. And I did this mostly because we planned this, and then I feel like a lot of other podcasts and media outlets did their All-Star picks. And so I wanted to take just a different slant on it. I went out to a bunch of different NBA stat websites and grabbed as many sort of, you know, like baseball has wins above replacement, where they try to boil a player's value down to one stat. NBA has a lot of different versions of that stat, like PER is one, win shares is one, real plus minus is one. I tried to take a bunch of these stats that boil a player's value down to one metric and, aggregate all those metrics together and see who it would spit out as the top All-Star. So here are the stats I used. I used PER from John Hollinger. I used offensive and defensive win shares from Basketball Reference. I used a combination of win shares per 48 minutes, so sort of highlights the players that are really good on a permanent basis. I used offensive and defensive real plus minus from ESPN, and along with their estimated wins added statistic. And then this was the coolest one that I found from inpredict.com. It's basically a way to measure which players change in-game win probability the most. If you want to know a little bit more about it, go to inpredict.com. But it basically, you know, so if a player hits a game-winning shot, that obviously changes the win probability by a huge margin. And so they would get a lot of credit for that. But also, like, if they made a steal earlier in the game that changed the win probability a lot for their team, they would get credit for that. So those are the stats. I know that's a lot of stats, but I kind of boiled, I kind of took all of those stats and how the players ranked in each of those stats and boiled them down to one number. So it'll be interesting to see which players come out on top and which what surprises there are.
Just so our listeners know, Mark showed me like his ridiculous spreadsheet that he made. And it was basically, it looked basically like the Magna Carta. It was like 70,000 pages long. It was written in like a native tongue that I've never seen. All these numbers, you know, it was pretty amazing, quite honestly. So
thanks.
You're welcome.
I couldn't tell if you were trying to diss me or compliment.
No. I mean, no, I was not. Like, I was super impressed. Although, you know, made me kind of like feel bad because I was like, I'm just picking the guys who I, you know, want to watch.
No, I actually think this is a combination because I think we can have a good discussion.
No, I totally agree. And like, you know, again, like once we start saying who your number, your mad spreadsheets kind of spit out, like some of the players that came out with are crazy.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny. It's funny because some of them are very conventional, right? Like,
yes,
we actually matched on most of our players, and it's interesting the ones we didn't match on, right. I think. So I think that's what we're going to highlight here for the rest of the show is let's just go quickly over the guys that we maybe matched on. The first guy that we – so let's start in the East with the backcourt. You went with Kyle Lowry and Dwayne Wade.
That's right, brother. I switched. I had Jimmy Butler, but look, I last second I switched to Wade. And just so everyone on the podcast or knows, if you don't know already, I'm a huge Wade fan. This is a completely biased, horrendous decision to put Wade in there. It should be Butler. But I put Wade in there only because I think this really could be his last year to make an all-star team. Like, his body is falling apart quicker than my relationship with the girl who I've been seeing, not Urban Outfitter girl, if she's listening to this podcast. So, I want to see Wade play with LeBron one last time. I think it'd be really cool. And, yeah, that's why I put Wade in there, ultimately.
Wade comes in as the 13th best option for a guard in my little metric here. He's dragged down most by the fact that he ranks 66th in guards in defensive real plus minus.
Yep, and defensively is you know that's the one thing when I was going through. And the thing is, like, Wade's it's not that crazy. Well, maybe as a starter, but it's not that crazy to think of Wade making the All-Star team. I mean, really, you know, it would boil down to me, the last guard spot would be like, we can get into later, but DeMar DeRozan versus Wade. And one of the reasons why probably DeMar's a smarter play is because DeMar plays a little bit better defense these days. Like Wade just lily gags way too much. He, you know,
DeRozan actually came out 64th in ESPN's plus minus, but so he's down there on my list too. So the only interesting thing about Lowry, which I was really glad he came out on top because games in Toronto, I always have like a soft spot in my heart for players who are playing in their hometown on All-Star weekend. Like, I think that's fun for the fans. But anyway, here was the amazing thing. Lowry came out first in every single one of those stats that I read you for guards in the East, except for two. And in those two, he came out second.
Give me the two. He did not come in first. I want to see if I can guess who came in first.
He didn't come out in offensive win shares. He came in second. Behind Butler, okay. and in the win probability added statistic, he came in second behind John Wall.
Oh, yeah, I would have guessed Wall. I said, let me guess, my man.
Sorry.
It's okay.
He came in. I mean, he was first or second, so it's not like he was far. He was down low in any of those. So
yeah.
And Butler came in second overall for me. So he Lowry and Butler are my two starting guards.
Yeah, and that really is mine too, even though I put Wade in there just because that's purely because I want to see Wade play one less All-Star game.
Hey, all right, let's move to the front court. We both had LeBron James. He was the clear number one. He's dropped a little bit in the defensive advanced stats, but not enough. I mean, he's a solid starter.
Can I mention one more thing about Lowry real quick? And I know you're bringing all the knowledge about the real deep analytics in this show, so I got to bring some goofy stuff to make me seem useful. But do you remember last year how Justin Bieber, and this is legitimate, people thought this was like a hoax. It was not. How Justin Bieber like tweeted, you know, vote Kyle Lowry, and that's why he ended up surpassing Dwayne Wade and John Wall and won the East in voting last year. And this year, like, Lowry did not do, I mean, Bieber did not do that for Lowry this year.
He did it for Chris Paul.
That's right. That's what I was going to say next, which, like I know Bieber actually, well, I know Bieber got a lot of backlash, but I know Lowry did. So I wonder if Lowry, like, reached out to Bieber and said, look, don't do that this year. I want to make it, like, on my own merits. You know, do you think something like that happened?
Well, I know Lowry had a big push, and I'm trying to remember from which media star it was from, but he got a ton from some media person. Who was it?
I don't remember who it was, but I'm not sure. What happened with? I mean, I think he reached out to Bieber and said, "Look, man, don't do it." And then why the Biebs, went for Chris Paul was, I guess, because he's is he a Clippers fan? I don't know. I see him at Lakers games occasionally, but I thought that was interesting.
I'm trying to look it up.
I know you love the Biebs.
Oh, no, here's what it was. Is there's a guy named Lewis who was giving away iPhone. He basically said everybody who retweeted his tweet would get a chance to win an iPhone 6S. And it was a vote Kyle Lowry into the All-Star game. And it got 47,000 retweets, which were all votes for Lowry. I think that's what pushed him over the edge.
Yeah, I mean, like, I was also surprised with, like, the number of votes overall. Like, you know, to make the, like, a starter, like, I think Lowry, what did Lowry have, 700,000 votes, something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought, I don't know, I was just like, because, like, Bieber has, what, 70 million Twitter followers?
I don't know.
So it's just like, I thought that some of these guys would have more votes than that. But, yeah, so, I mean, like, giving away an iPhone, if you get like 48,000 retweets, and that's all you need to do to get, you know, to count as an All-Star vote these days. If someone just, like, retweets something that you do,
yeah,
it's super easy. That's why I thought there'd be, the votes would be higher. Like, everyone would be getting over a million votes, but I guess that's not the case.
I didn't vote. Did you vote?
No, I actually did not vote this year. Last year, I voted a lot for D Wade, because, like, I think you can do like one retweet or tweet a day.
Right.
Like I follow a lot of Miami Heat stuff, so I would just, they would send out stuff, and I would just retweet it. This year I didn't. I was like,
I don't think I voted for a long, long time. So I guess
you didn't vote for Karl Anthony Towns? That's crazy.
I didn't vote for anybody. Karl Anthony Towns didn't even make my imaginary All-Star team.
I know. I was shocked. That was I can't believe in your super analytical based numbers, Anthony Towns didn't come out number one in everything.
He's pretty close. He's all a right. Tough rookie for sure. All right, let's keep going. So,
yeah, so we got LeBron. We both have LeBron, and then what?
We both agreed on LeBron. And now why don't you tell us the other two front court guys, because we don't match on those.
Okay, so the guys that I want, that I put on my team in the East, I put Paul George at the one forward spot, and the last front court spot. I waffled with, but I ended up going Andre Drummond, man. I know the last few weeks he hasn't been as great. He started off the season tremendous, but I want that presence. I still think he's been a monster this year. So that's why I went with Drummond.
Yeah, and Drummond, he didn't even come in on my All-Star ballot. But what's weird is, so he ranks.
Yeah, I'm not happy with this. I mean, like you have freaking Pau Gasol over Drummond.
Hold on. Don't reveal all my picks.
Like, come on, no Drummond? That's crazy, Mark.
So let's talk about Drummond for a second. So yeah, he comes in number one on Basketball Reference's defensive metric and number two on ESPN's defensive metric. So he's definitely high in those ones. And he actually came in pretty high in the wins probability added. The places where he got hurt, and I'm interested to hear your take, because he did just fine in PR. He got hurt on the offensive side, basically offensive win shares. On Basketball Reference, he was 34th overall. And in ESPN's version, he was 43rd overall. I was pretty surprised by that. He's close to 20 points a game, but I guess his team struggles offensively when he's out there.
I mean, Detroit's 23-20 on the year. I mean, they're basically number six in the East right now, and what, two games out of fourth, three games out of third. So it's like, I mean, Detroit needs a player there. He's by far their best player. I mean, don't tell me Reggie Jackson should be going to the All-Star game. So just using kind of common sense like that and just watching the games. I mean, like, I'm not sure what those numbers are all based on, but that's
– No, those are basically numbers. Like, they try to take account for how well the team does offensively when he's on the floor. So
right. And
they struggle when he's on the court offensively.
you know, and I guess I would say, you know, take him off the court and let's see how Detroit would be, right? They'd be a lottery team. They'd be one of the worst teams in the East, in my opinion. So to me, that stat is that's what it's confusing, right?
It's surprising. I don't think it's confusing.
All right. Confusing was the wrong word. Yes, it's surprising.
Yeah, I'm surprised that I thought they would be better off with him on the court offensively. Now, clearly defense. I'm also surprised by the defensive side, frankly, because I thought he would struggle. Like, at least my impression of Drummond is he's not as good of a defensive player as like his rebounds and blocks would suggest. But he shows very favorably here. I'm trying to look up
the one thing that like does free throw percentage come into play with any of these things? That's maybe. That's why it's like some of those stats, you know, with guys like Drummond and guys like DeAndre.
No, it totally does. It goes with the points.
Yeah. So I mean, so
here's what we're looking at. So on the court, so when let's see.
Who, by the way, Drummond was 13 for 36 from the free throw line yesterday. It was crazy. Most misses ever in a free NBA game.
That's crazy. So he didn't miss the cut by much, but he didn't miss my cut. All right, so here are my starters. I got LeBron. I got Paul Millsap. He was number two. And Chris Bosh came out number three. Probably by this point, I think Bosh might be one of the most underrated players in the NBA. He's solid on both ends of the court. Pretty consistent production. The advanced metrics love him. So,
both those guys are always underrated. Millsap too.
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
You know, like, and that's because Atlanta is always underrated. I mean, Millsap and Horford, another guy who's underrated. Although Horford's had a down year, but Millsap's, you know, he's been tremendous last year and this year.
You know what I was thinking was kind of interesting about those two guys is a lot of the talk you hear in the NBA is like who could guard Draymond Green, who could match up with the Warriors, who could guard Draymond Green. And not that these guys would ever face him in the playoffs, but I actually think both of those two guys are as good of solutions in the NBA as we have. Like I think Millsap and Bosh could both do a fairly decent job matching up with Draymond Green.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I mean, I think.
Anyway, all right, yeah. Let's get on to the East reserves. So, basically, the way the reserves work is you have two guards. Three front court players and two wild cards. So we want to tell us
this is where Mark gets crazy. I mean, some of this, you know, these advanced. I'm basically becoming Charles Barkley on this show. Advanced stats are, you know, are crap.
Why don't you tell us who your two reserve guards were?
So I got John Wall, my man. Come on, the whole team has been hurt this year. He's been tremendous. Made me a lot of money in DFS as well. Like, I mean, and the surprising thing is his field goal percentage, which notoriously is super low. I think it's like creeping above like 44% or something, like reasonably respectable for someone like John Wall, who's got to carry the entire team on his back and who still doesn't have a jump shot. So, you know, I'm a big John Wall fan. I considered him as a starter. I mean, quite honestly, if you want to start John Wall over Jimmy Butler, I think you could make a case for it. So I like John Wall. And then the second spot, man, I'm going to DeMar. And for, you know, one reason is, another guy is who is overlooked. No one really talks about DeMar. I mean, the Lowry gets a lot of the attention there. Most people think of DeMar as kind of a one-trick pony, very scoring dependent. But even though we just mentioned briefly the defensive metrics on him, which are not that great, defensively, I think he's been a little bit better.
Well, what's weird about that is, and this is, we don't need to spend a lot of time on this because I think it would be boring to explain the difference, but Basketball References win shares, defensive win shares, have him rated pretty well, and ESPN's have him rated really poorly. So it's not clear that he's a bad defender.
Yeah. So and last reason I put DeMar on there was it's like you said, it's in Toronto.
It's in Toronto, yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. It'd be cool to get both those guys in there.
All right. So here are my two East reserves. I had John Wall, easy pick, and the other guy who got in there for me was Kemba Walker. Sort of surprising, but listen, he's a top 10 player in basically every one of those advanced metrics that we referenced.
Even defensively?
Defensive win shares, he's fifth in East guards. ESPN's real plus minus didn't love him as much, but yeah, he scored out a lot better defensively than some of those other guys we've been talking about.
I mean, it's not a
having a great year.
Yeah, it's not a – I wouldn't say great.
This is clearly his best year.
I mean, right now Toronto is in – wow, they've really fallen. They're in 12th place in the East.
So here's Walker's line, just so we have that in our mind. 35 minutes a game, 20 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 1.7 steals, 1.8 threes, 0.6 blocks, shooting 44% from the field and 86% from the free throw line. So a heck of a fantasy stat line. But he's also been solid in the advanced metrics as well. So I like those two guys.
I don't want Kemba on my all-star team. I don't want to see – and also, like, don't want to see a 5'6" guy taking, 23-foot fadeaway jumpers.
So how can you put Isaiah Thomas on your team?
He's exciting. I think he's a more exciting player than Kemba.
But that's exactly what you just described, like a 5'6" guy taking fadeaway jumpers.
I'm not going to lie. You kind of have me there on that one. Also, why are you going and revealing my final wild card pick on the team? As you can see, I have a slash. I'm not sure Isaiah Thomas is going to make my team. I'm still debating. But no.
So just to be clear, and Bulls fans can tweet at Daniel. Daniel has listed out 4 guards yet and has yet to put Jimmy Butler on his team.
No, that's not true. Because I put Wade in as my starter, but objectively, I think it should be Jimmy Butler. So Bulls fans, relax. And I will say, Bulls fans, I'm proud of you, because if Derrick Rose would have been voted as a starter for the All-Star game, I would have left. I don't know what I would have done. I was gonna say left the country, but that wouldn't have really helped me.
All right, let's move through these. The front.
Wait, aren't you proud of America for not voting in Derrick Rose finally?
Congratulations, America!
Because like they did reveal the top 10 jersey sales about last week, and Derrick Rose was still in there, and I was so frustrated. He's still like number 6, in jersey sales.
Hey, you want to know who my next 3 front court guys are?
Do you want to know who's number 5 in jersey sales?
No, I don't care.
Fine.
Porzingis was up there, I know. All right.
He's number 4.
Pau Gasol, Kevin Love, Paul George. So what do you have a problem with there?
I just like Kevin Love. I'm just tired of him. Like just watching that Golden State game, I'm so tired of him just sitting in a corner, letting Kyrie and LeBron do basically take turns on offense, like Wade and LeBron did when LeBron's first year in Miami. Like Kevin Love, and I think a lot of this is just on Cleveland. They don't use him properly. Like they don't run any plays for him. They don't run any plays for him at the elbow. He just sits in the dang corner. Like, especially in the fourth quarter, or he gets benched, and it's defensively, he's atrocious. Like, Golden State abused him.
I don't know. So, obviously, a bad matchup for Draymond Green, just like we were talking about.
Right. But also, like, when they played San Antonio, I mean, San Antonio ran, like, 20 consecutive plays directly, like, whoever Kevin Love was guarding. I mean, like, and I think...
But for the teams that aren't historically great all-time teams, he's actually been a fairly good, not great defender this year. He breaks out. The team does pretty well with him on the
court. So how does he come out on your rankings? Yeah.
So defensive win shares, again, they don't necessarily agree. In win shares, he came out as the 6th best front court player. According to Basketball Reference, according to ESPN, he's 23rd. So again, good, not great, but not terrible as you would maybe expect.
I mean, it's Kevin Love is such an interesting selection, because like you think about it, Cleveland's still got a really, really solid record, easily, top in the East. So they probably need 2 players, right? Obviously LeBron. And then Kyrie hasn't played enough games. So what are you going to do, put Tristan Thompson in there? Like,
And he's, he's not averaging the points, but he's averaging, 16 points, 11 rebounds, 2 right. three-pointers.
So, I mean, like in theory, it's an okay play, but I'm just, on my team, I want no part of that guy right now. Like,
Fair enough.
Get off my squad.
And we, of course, agree on Paul George. You just got him as a starter. I've got him as a bench player.
So, but you also have Gasol, who I think is an interesting play.
Yeah.
So, like, how Gasol actually ranked pretty high defensively?
Let me look.
To me, he's the worst. Like, he may be the worst defensive center or defensive big man in the East.
And I will preface this by again saying, I don't know that I believe all of these metrics, but I'm using them as a way to generate an interesting conversation. He rates out very well on these defensive metrics.
Like, how is that possible, Mark?
He's a top 5 player according to both defensive metrics.
That's insane.
That's what I know. Like, anybody who watches the games would not say that Pau Gasol is a top five defensive player. But statistically, he's doing quite well. He's averaging 16 points, 11 rebounds, 2.3 blocks, 3 assists.
See, yeah, I mean, like I don't like that. Just like you watch the games, and you'd be screaming if you're a Bulls fan. You're screaming at the TV. Get him off the court defensively. Like he gets abused so bad. He can't move.
Stats wise, what these stats are telling us is his team does better defensively when he's on the court than when he's off.
I know, and that's why these stats are very surprising. It's so startling. I mean. Yeah, I mean it's baffling.
Anyway,
I mean offensively, he's so supremely talented. He's still a great player offensively and fantasy wise. He's been terrific, you know. And he's still and that's in like 29 to 30 minutes a game too. So, but just you know,
the other front court guy that you had that I didn't have was Al Horford, and he just barely missed the cut for me. So I don't think we have a lot to discuss.
Yeah, I just put Horford on there because I didn't want Kevin Love, and I didn't think Pau Gasol deserved it. Like. But
yeah, that's
Horford, Horford has had a down year too. So,
yeah. All right. So, and are you okay? So we both had Isaiah Thomas as a wild card.
Yep.
And your other wild card was Carmelo Anthony. I think that is probably pretty likely to happen.
And I didn't want to put Melo on there. And I am just, you know, I'm so tired of reading the articles and taking some of this from what Zach Lowe said from, I guess, what is he just from ESPN now? Cause he was Grantland. I guess from ESPN now, you know, like cause he was kind of venting about this too. There's just so many articles now, how Carmelo is just like, he's playing such great basketball. He's such a good passer. And by the way, Carmelo has been really efficient, playing a lot better, but where the hell has this been? His first 12 years in the league, you know, like people have been saying like Melo needs to do these things, play defense, you know, pass the ball a little bit, be more efficient, like forever. Like, so like,
well, according to these defensive stats, he's not playing the defense, his defensive side, but he is, I mean, he is passing more. It could be a function of Phil Jackson's influence. It could be a function of better teammates around him than he's had in a little while.
I mean, his teammates still stink. What, he has Porzingis now. I mean, like, you know, so playing with Aaron Afalo.
I think they've got some interesting enough players, and I think if you combine that with the system and the philosophies that Phil Jackson's trying to implement there, I think it could lead to a guy who passes more. And I think the fact that he's slowing down physically can also help that.
Yeah, I think that may be the case, but in no way do I see, oh my God, I have Aaron Afalo, and like a light bulb is going to go off. You know, the great Robin Lopez and Aaron Afalo on my team. I'm going to start.
My last wild card, and this was the guy I was really excited who made it, was Jay Crowder. What do you think of that?
You know, I'm not as surprising as maybe some other people would be. Like, you can make a legitimate case he's been Boston's best player, best all-around player. So,
yeah, I mean, you know, I think he's – definitely an underrated guy.
And I did think about him instead of Isaiah Thomas. I just think Isaiah Thomas like is much more exciting. And like, if there's one guy who I wouldn't want to see just, you know, aesthetically at an All-Star game, it'd be Jay Crowder. Because like offensively, you know, offensively he doesn't really do much. He's not really super athletic. He hustles. He plays tremendous defense. He can hit an occasional three. He does a lot of different things on the basketball court. He's not a guy I want to see in an All-Star game.
Another guy that if you were trying to match up with the Warriors' small ball, I think would be a great candidate for that. But
yeah, agree.
No, I agree. I think he makes the team more as a guy who like deserves to make the team than somebody who you would want to see there.
He basically reminds me of now? Kenneth Faried. And by the way, Mark.
Yeah.
I get so excited on these podcasts. And I have so much I want to say. You notice me stuttering all the time? It's like driving me nuts. Like if anyone like can give me some stuttering lessons, like, cause when I give presentations as an attorney, I don't stutter. Like it's very funny how I get on these podcasts and I just have so much to say. I'm so excited to talk to you that I start stuttering. But anyway, what was I going to say now? I told you. Oh, so yeah, but I think Jay Crowder, he reminds me of an injury free Kenneth Faried. You agree with that in any way or no?
I mean, they have the same haircut. I mean, Kenneth Faried is a very limited defensive player. I think Jay Crowder's probably strength is the defensive player, and the fact that he's a good shooter on the, or a serviceable shooter on the offensive end. Fareed is neither of those things, so I'm not sure what the connection is there.
All right, moving on.
No, I mean, happy to have my opinion changed. That's just comes to my mind.
I do agree with you, and this is one thing I don't understand, like why Kenneth Fareed's defense has never been up to par. But
it really doesn't make sense. He's athletic and he's a hustle guy, but
all the tools. I don't know if he's like, yeah. And well, this is one reason why, you know, he would never get playing time under Brian Shaw. They were like arch enemies. Like it's really baffling. But I think that Jay Crowder could be injury free. Kenneth Fareed, maybe not though. We can let the listeners weigh in on that.
Okay, let's jump over to the West side. We didn't have as many disagreements on this side. We matched on 10 players, actually.
Yeah.
So we'll just read through them quickly. To no one's surprise, Steph Curry is very, very good at basketball.
I wanted to go J.J. Barea here, but I had to go Curry.
I'll get to this in a second, but I had a guy who came out almost like J.J. Barea. Anyway, Russell Westbrook was our other guard, so we agreed on that, both subjectively, your opinion, and looking at the advanced metrics, say that those two should be the backcourt. Kawhi Leonard, Draymond Green were both in our front court. That was pretty much a no-brainer, I think, both ways.
Mark, can I just say this? So you know how in the NHL, like they voted in some like basically like some goon who barely plays and is like minor leaguer to be like the starter and captain for one of the teams? So if there was like a kind of a like somewhat of a similar situation in the NBA, like who would you have liked to see voted in as kind of a complete just kind of like F you to the NBA and it's kind of a joke?
Is that a world peace?
Really? Because my guy is Ty Lawson. Yeah. How great would it have been if Ty Lawson is the starting point guard for the West?
That would have been pretty good.
It would have been awesome.
Indeed.
Anyway.
All right. So we matched on Kawhi Leonard. We matched on Draymond Green. Now, by a hair, the guy who came out as my third front court player ahead of Kevin Durant, who was your third front court player, was DeAndre Jordan, surprisingly enough.
Yeah, like the thing about DeAndre Jordan is, I mean, you know, he keeps getting all the criticism where offensively he's horrendous, you know, he can't shoot free throws, but for what he does, like on the court, and especially, you know, they've been tremendous since Blake Griffin's been out, which is, I think, it's been out, 13, 14 games now. Yeah. So, like DeAndre, I mean, look, he's tremendous rebounder, tremendous shot blocker, great defensive presence, and offensively, you know, he's going to get you offensive rebounds and some alley-oop dunks, but he's a pretty good player. So, I mean, like, I don't think he should start, but it's not like
he's on your all-star team.
He did make my as a reserve for me, but starting.
So here's the interesting thing. So last year, Doc Rivers came out and said he's like the next Bill Russell, right? Like he's this defensive genius, and he was touting him for defensive player of the year. And all the advanced metrics said DeAndre Jordan is not a good defensive player. And so there was this big war between like Charles Barkley type, Doc River people who say, no, he's great. You don't know what you're talking about. And all the stats head who were saying the numbers don't bear it out. Like he's not good defensively. Well, what's strange this year, Daniel, is so far this season, the defensive metrics say he's been an elite defender. So I don't know what's changed. I haven't been able to identify it watching the games. But he ranks as a top five player in both versions of the defensive win share statistic. So it appears that he's improved on that defensive, you know, in those defensive metrics. And it'll be interesting to see if that narrative comes back this year where all the stat heads acknowledge that he's been very, very good defensively this year.
Yeah.
And Kevin Durant he and Jordan were basically neck and neck. So he's obviously on my reserve team.
Well, that's not what you told me pre-show. You told me pre-show that Kevin Durant is a horrendous defender.
He is a horrendous – you know, according to these stats, he comes out very poorly. And then he's almost first in basically every other stat. So that's why he comes out fourth overall.
Interesting.
So like he's first in offensive win shares and offensive real plus minus. But he's 63rd in defensive real plus minus. So if you average, you kind of average it all together. He's second in that win probability category. So he comes out just barely outside of the starters for me and entirely due to his defensive lack of defensive effectiveness.
And Deanna Jordan, another guy in an All-Star game. Actually, no, he actually could be interesting to see in an All-Star game. I guess he could
get some excellent alley-oop finishes.
Yeah, some blocks, and he's athletic. So, okay, not horrendous to watch.
Yeah. All right, in the backcourt, in the reserves, we both agreed on Chris Paul. You, like I said, you had DeAndre Jordan. We both agreed on Anthony Davis. We both agreed on Boogie Cousins. Is that it? I think those – who else? Oh, and we both agreed on James Harden.
You
took Harden off.
I took him off last second.
I'm looking at your thing here, and it has Harden. So you.
Well, no, it has. Well, if you look at look at my last player. So it says DeAndre Jordan / Harden.
Oh, okay.
So then I decided on DeAndre Jordan over Harden.
Okay, so Harden's off for you.
Oh, he's off for me.
So
a lot of that is just my personal bias. I loathe the guy. I loathe watching him. I think I still remember him. He was horrendous. You know, in the finals against Miami when he's on OKC, I think he contributed. Like, you know, look at his numbers. I mean, I'm sure they're great. You know, in terms of except his field goal percentage, but yeah. I'm sure the offensive metrics are fantastic. But
he's basically like Kevin Durant right now. His offensive metrics are very, very good, and his defensive metrics are very, very bad.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather have Ty Lawson over.
Oh my goodness.
Over Harden. I'm just, look, he's a ball stopper. I mean, he's basically Carmelo. He's a younger version with a bigger beard of Carmelo.
I disagree with that. I think he has a different, he can do different things passing the ball like Carmelo Anthony never could do.
So,
and he can get to the line in a different way. But your general concept, I understand, like as a ball stopping offensive player who doesn't
play. Yeah, and someone that I'm serious on this. He's not a good fit for an All-Star game. Like, you know, what do I want to see him doing? A Euro step and getting a foul in the All-Star game? Get the heck out of here with that. Like, get the heck out of here. I want no part of that guy in the All-Star game. Yeah. And I think he cost Kevin McHale his job. I mean, I just – there's nothing good coming from that guy right now. Just, you know, if you have him in fantasy, then – I have him on none of my teams. I wonder if my tune would change if I had him on any of my teams this year. But, like, because, I mean, obviously, you know, he's been a great player on fantasy. But –
So your guards are CP3,
yep,
and then you've got Klay Thompson and Damian Lillard.
Yeah,
and
I
don't have Klay Thompson or Damian Lillard.
Yeah, I mean, just because Golden State's been so phenomenal, so like they had to get three players, and I have Draymond, Steph, and then I had to get Klay in there.
I'm actually okay with Klay. He didn't come. He came in just kind of on the outskirts.
Yeah, offensively, he's come around. He's the first, I'd say, month of the season. This is legit. He was their fourth best player the first month of the season. The Harrison Barnes was their third best player. And offensively, they were going to Harrison Barnes. They're running a hell of a lot more plays for Harrison Barnes than Klay Thompson.
He hasn't been as good defensively this season as he has been in the past. He's not, you know, Iguodala is a lot better in those categories.
And if you read some of the articles from the Golden State guys, they say Klay was dealing with some injuries that first month, which who knows?
Very well could have been.
You know, some ankle issues. So who knows if that, you know, how much that's true or not. But you know, since that first month, and then Harrison Barnes went out for Golden State, Klay really stepped up offensively, defensively. Like you said, been a little down, but still, I think he deserves a shot, deserves a spot this year. Look, Lillard. I mean, Portland's battling for a playoff spot. Like they're right there with Utah. I don't know how. Like they have no talent besides Lillard. I mean, McCollum. I don't think he's even that talented, but I guess he's a pretty good NBA player. Like he missed those 2 weeks with the plantar fascia, but you know, I think Lillard is a deserving guy, and also I just hate Harden that much, so I went Lillard over Harden.
And Lillard's a top five player in every offensive advanced metric here. He's just a horrendous ranked defender.
Yeah, and the reason why I gave him somewhat of a pass defensively, which I don't like doing, but and also he's not the best. He's not a great player for the All-Star game format because like what I want to see from him doing, I guess, just shooting.
Three pointers,
and then never smiling or making a facial expression. Like he's just emotionless on the court. but defensively, I've given him a little bit of a pass because he has to do everything for that team.
Yeah, and that's probably
similar to what Harden does. That's probably why Harden loafs a little bit defensively. But you know, like I think Lillard is a deserving guy this year.
I think there is a difference between the two. If you watch him, Lillard tries on defense. I just don't think he's clueless.
Really?
And I actually would give him the benefit of the doubt for that more. Like, Harden knows how to play defense, I think, and he just doesn't do it.
I don't understand something like that. Why would he be clueless? Like, he's been in the league, what, like 4 years now, 5 years? Why?
I don't know. I feel like if you watch him, he's not a lazy defender. He just isn't an ineffective defender.
So, I mean, like, he just doesn't have the, like, just the physical talent. He doesn't have the, what?
I don't know if it's a talent thing, like, or a mentality thing, or if it's sort of like the same thing we're talking about with Fareed, where it's just like, he hasn't, whatever reason, he hasn't put it together.
Yeah,
but it's clear that he hasn't.
There are certain players you wish you could just get in their body for a game and just to see why aren't they doing certain things, right? It's very frustrating. But anyway, yeah. All right, so let the listeners know.
Well, I've got CP3. I've got James Harden as my backcourt player, and my third backcourt guy is Manu Ginobili. Right?
Manu Ginobili.
I know he's only playing 20 minutes a game. And I actually think this is okay, because I think the Spurs are so historically good. They need two all-stars. He's seventh in PER right now. He's actually ranks very high in the defensive metrics. And offensive win shares, he's 20th overall in Basketball Reference's version and sixth overall in ESPN version. Frankly, he's been a top 5 to top 10 guard in the West this season, according to pretty much every advanced metric, even with the limited minutes. And the next guy on my list would have been Tony Parker. So even if you want to rule out Manu because he hasn't played enough minutes, it goes to Parker next.
It's funny because I was reading an AARP magazine earlier today. So maybe that's why. Maybe it's all coming full circle.
Now, objectively, like, I would have a really hard time leaving Damian Lillard off in favor of Manu. But like, just going off of these stats, that's who they would have in there.
Like, this was, to me, this was the most fascinating of all your selections.
But I sort of like it because I feel like the Spurs should have at least two all-stars.
That's the thing. Like, see, I'm totally with you. Like, the Spurs, like, people forget the Spurs are like one game back of Golden State.
Like, they have better, like, numbers.
Point differential. Point differential. They're still tops in the league. Like, I mean, they definitely deserve two guys. But the thing is that if there was going to be a second guy, and talk about someone who's boring for all-star games, I probably was going to go LaMarcus. Like, he's been a lot better the last month and a half. He's become, clearly the number one, or if worse, two option behind Kawhi.
Duncan is right on the outskirts of my he's higher in my stuff than LaMarcus.
Yeah, and Duncan too. Like, so, but
you want to know, guess where he ranks in ESPN's defensive plus minus?
Who, Duncan? Who?
Guess where he ranks?
I guess Duncan would be like top
number five, one right? Overall.
Yeah, I was gonna say he's still up there. He's tremendous.
Number one overall. Like, that's how effective he still is.
I mean, but he's only getting what, like 20 minutes a game, probably.
He's at 26 for the season.
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah. I mean,
to our front court guys here.
How many All-Star games has Manu made? He must have.
I don't know. Has he made any?
He must have made a couple, right? If he's never made.
That's going to be the title of the podcast. Why Manu Ginobili deserves to be in the All-Star game.
If he's never made one before. Wait, was he an All-Star in 2014?
He made two All-Star games, 04 and 10.
Yeah.
I think this is
a... That's a long gap. Seven-year gap or whatever?
Yeah.
It's
tough for those bench guys to get in there.
Agree. I'm sorry to break your heart. Manu will not make the team, Mark. But very fascinating there. I mean, interesting.
All right. So here's the front guard guys. Again, we both agreed Anthony Davis is coming off the bench.
Well, I don't even want to play. I wish I could take him out. I'm so tired of him getting injured all the time too. And he'll probably get injured in the All-Star game.
And DeMarcus Cousins, we both agreed, should be a front court player.
Correct.
The guy who just missed for me was Tim Duncan and Dwight Howard. So we both had as our last front court player, we both had a Maverick.
That's right.
Do you want to tell everybody who you had, and then I can share with who I had?
All right. So I went with a guy who got about 150,000 votes, and I think he was like 12th in the Western Conference voting, which, again, is interesting. Like, I would have thought this guy would have got a lot more votes because he's a legend. Top 10 all-time in the NBA in scoring, and that is Dirk Diggler Nowitzki, who I'm not even a fan of, but if you look at his stats, he's been super efficient and productive this year. Mm-hmm. Dallas is, I think, the 5 seed right now. They don't have a ton of talent. They've been injured the whole year. Rick Carlisle has done a fascinating job. I think Dallas deserves one guy. And so I went with Dirk.
And
who, by the way, will actually make the All-Star team, and he'll play like he used. Like, I think last year he made it, and he plays like 3 minutes. One, because he's not suited for that game, and two, because he's old, and three, no one wants to watch Dirk play.
Listen, though, he's averaging 31 minutes. He's averaging 18 points, 7 rebounds, a half a block, half a steal. He's shooting 40% from the three-point range, making two of those a game. He's like, if I'm picking with my head, like based off what I've seen, I'm probably picking Dirk. Now, here's what the advanced stats say. You ready for this? This is the most surprising one so far.
Oh, no, this is not more surprising than Manner to me, but go ahead.
Zaza Pachulia came out as an all-star in this little concocted advanced stat ranking that I came up with. He's carried primarily by his defensive, by his effectiveness on the defensive end, but also offensive win shares. He's 12th in the front court, guys. So, you know, not top five, not top six, but, you know, not that far away either. So, very highly in, like I said, in the defensive ones, comes out as one of the best six front court players.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, if you watch the Dallas games, and I played Zaza a lot in DFS, because especially at the beginning of the year, his price was really low. He's been really consistent. Defensively, he's been really good. I mean, there's some argument they're actually, you know, better off with him over DeAndre Jordan, which I don't think is accurate, but it's probably not that crazy to say a comment like that. So, you know, I still think Dirk would be the smarter player over him, but he's been one of their most consistent players. And the most important thing about Zaza, probably, he's played every game almost for Dallas. Like, he's been one of the guys who's been not banged up.
Yeah, and I think that definitely helps him. The fact that they played so well, and he's played so many games and minutes.
I bet you he's played the most minutes out of anyone on that team.
I think it would be close between him and Dirk, actually. Dirk has played in 40 games, and he's played 31 minutes per game. Zaza's played 42 games and 29 minutes per game.
Oh, wow. I can't believe Dirk. Yeah, Dirk's played that many games. That's pretty
interesting. I can calculate it here real quick, let me tell you.
But while you do that, so I'll read to the
Dirk list. Has played 4 more minutes.
Wow. Yeah. That's pretty crazy. So if you look at the actual voting for the front court in the West, this is how it went. Kobe Bryant had 1,891,000 votes, the most out of anyone. Kevin Durant, second, 980,000 votes. Third, this is where it got super close, third through fifth. Third was Kawhi, 782,000 votes. Fourth, Zaza, 768,000 votes.
So everybody agreed with me.
So yeah. So like you were onto something that I sure as heck wasn't. Like, so Dirk got 173,000 votes. He was 14th in the voting in the West. Whereas Zaza, who had never been top 10 before, came out of nowhere and almost was 14,000 votes away from starting. And fifth was Draymond Green, 726,000 votes. And sixth is Blake Griffin. So Zaza finished ahead of some big hitters.
Yeah.
So
Karl-Anthony Towns finished like 20th in my rankings. I mean, just so you know.
So does he make the rookie sophomore game? real quickly, Mark. Yeah. Should we do snubs real quick?
Nah. I mean, we don't know who the whole All-Star team is, so. I mean, what do you mean? Snubs from our team?
Yeah.
What you're saying?
You know, as I said it, I was like, this is the dumbest idea ever. So I'm like,
no, I mean, like,
all right, no, this is what I want to do. So I just want to read you, I'm going to go through and real quickly, just and not even read how many votes they got, tell you how the voting went down in the East and West. And just tell me if anything stands out to you, any you want to make any quick comments. Okay. Cause some of it's pretty fascinating. All right. So guards in the East went Wade, Lowry, Irving, Butler, DeRozan, Wall, Rose, Lynn, Isaiah Thomas, Reggie Jackson was 10th. Anything surprising there?
No, I mean, you're probably pretty surprised that Lynn is high, but he's going to get a lot of votes from China.
Yeah, I would have thought he would get more votes than from China. Okay. Like only 195,000 votes. I mean, like, yeah. But
the fact is there's millions and millions of NBA fans, and the fact these guys are only getting in the hundreds of thousands shows you that it's not like a representative sample.
Thing is, like, all you have to do is send a retweet to vote. You don't have to actually go to it. Like, back in the, you know, me and you are probably, at least I'm old enough to remember, when you went to a game, you had to punch that stupid ballot.
Which you had to go to, like, McDonald's and fill it out.
Yeah, which drove me nuts. And then actually find somewhere to actually, like, put it in, like, an actual ballot box.
Right.
You know? All right, so this is the front court for the East. LeBron 1, Paul George 2, Carmelo 3, Gasol 4, Drummond 5, Porzingis 6, Bosch 7, Love 8th, Whiteside 9th, Giannis 10th. And I'll say Millsap 15th. Only 41,000 votes. So basically, if you went to like one Atlanta Hawk game, or I guess it would have been maybe two, and you told people just to vote for Millsap, that's all the vote. He got 41,000 votes. That's it.
That's kind of surprising. Because he's really one of the best, you know, players. But again, like, fan voting, like, I just can't get worked up about it. I don't really care.
All right. I think to me, that's just fascinating. Like, 41,000 votes. Dear God, I could have got 41,000 votes. Right? Like, how many Twitter followers do I have? 2,400? I would have just said, you know, send a retweet. Give me the All-Star game. It's just, like, it's crazy to me. All right. The West, real quick. Guards. Curry, Westbrook, Chris Paul, Clay, Harden. Ginobili was sixth. Rondo, a guy we didn't talk about at all. Where did he come out in any years?
Oh, I just closed it.
That'd be interesting to see where he came out.
Let me see if I can open it up.
But Tony Parker was eighth. Andre Iguodala ninth. Damian Lillard was 10th, man. No respect for Lillard. But Rondo's an interesting guy. I wonder if you think he'll get any consideration?
Nah. He came out 15th overall. Okay.
I mean, yeah, he won't because the coaches hate that guy, so he won't. So the front court for the West, Kobe 1, Durant 2, Kawhi 3, Zaza 4, Draymond Green 5, Blake 6, Enes Kanter, dear God, 7th, Duncan 8th, Anthony Davis, so much for him becoming a, you know, a fan favorite, 9th, DeMarcus Cousins 10th.
Awesome. All right, Daniel, I think that will wrap up the show for us. Is there anything you want to share before we go?
Woo, no, that's it. Long week. Just enjoy your Friday, guys.
Yep, enjoy your Friday. Hope you enjoy some basketball.
Actually, you know what I want to say, Mark?
Yeah.
If you guys – I know we say this like every show, rate and review the podcast. But if you guys could really do that, it'd be fantastic. And as a super bonus, if you do that and you send me like a screenshot that you actually did, like, you know, you legitimately – reviewed the podcast on iTunes or wherever you're listening to it, I'll hook you up with a DFS lineup for that night or for the night. So there you go. There's your incentive to review the podcast.
All right, guys. Hopefully you enjoy some basketball over the weekend. We love you a lot. Bye.